Studio 360.
At least Super Sad True Love Story is a dark comedy. For a more totally hopeless novelistic vision, you've got Cormac McCarthy's The Road. It is a very realistic version of life in the United States after an unspecified apocalypse. It's kind of like Walking Dead, but much more beautifully and brilliantly written and without literal zombies.
The premise is very simple. It's a father and a young boy, perhaps 8 years old.
This is my friend Rob Spillman, the literary editor and author.
They're walking down a road where the entire landscape has been blasted and charred, and they are looking for food and shelter, trying to avoid cannibals, because that is what a lot of the refugees have been reduced to. The young boy travels with his little yellow toy truck. You know, they're homeless refugees. They're pushing a shopping cart with all their belongings in it. And they have, you know, taped cardboard to their feet for shoes, and they're in rags. And they very much look like poor pilgrims on the road to hopefully salvation.
They pass through towns that warned people away with messages scrawled on the billboards. The billboards had been whited out with thin coats of paint in order to write on them, and through the paint could be seen a pale palimpsest of advertisements for goods which no longer existed. They sat by the side of the road and ate the last of the rotten apples. What's on your mind?
Nothing.
We'll find something to eat. We always do. That's not it, is it?
It's okay.
Tell me. I want you to tell me. It's okay.
It's nothing, Papa.
Look at me. Are you crying? Just tell me.
We would never eat anybody, would we?
No. Of course not.
Even if we were starving?
We're starving now.
You said we weren't.
I said we weren't dying. I didn't say we weren't starving.
But we wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't.
No matter what?
No. No matter what.
Because we're the good guys.
Yes.
And we're carrying the fire.
And we're carrying the fire. Yes.
Okay.
You know, McCarthy, being an older man, facing his own mortality, is probably not going to be around when his own son becomes an adult. He's fairly recently remarried and has a young son, and the book is dedicated to this son. I imagine this is, his sort of love letter to his son and his hope for his own son, even in the bleakest of circumstances, which is death, that it's somewhat of a pilgrimage and that the boy is the chosen one to survive and perpetuate the species.
They walked through the streets wrapped in filthy blankets. He held the pistol at his waist and held the boy by the hand. At the farther edge of the town, they came upon a solitary house in a field, and they crossed and entered and walked through the rooms. They came upon themselves in a mirror, and he almost raised the pistol. "It's us, Papa," the boy whispered. "It's us."
What they're heading for is the ocean. And the father cannot tell his son whether the ocean is still blue or not. When they finally do reach the ocean, the boy asks, "Do you think there's anybody out there?" And McCarthy has reduced it to a very, very simple level where they might literally be the last two people like themselves on the planet.
They sat with their heels dug into the sand and watched the black sea wash up at their feet. Cold, desolate, birdless. He had left the cart in the bracken beyond the dunes, and they had taken the blankets with them and sat wrapped in them in the wind shade of a great driftwood log. They sat there for a long time. Along the shore of the cove, below them, windrows of small bones in the rack. Farther down, the salt bleached rib cages of what might have been cattle, gray salt rime on the rocks. The wind blew, and dry seed pods scampered down the sands and stopped, and then went on again.
Do you think there could be ships out there?
I don't think so.
They wouldn't be able to see very far.
No, they wouldn't.
What's on the other side?
Nothing.
There must be something.
Maybe there's a father with his little boy, and they're sitting on the beach.
That would be okay.
Yes.
And they could be carrying the fire, too.
They could be.
But we don't know.
Mm.
So we have to be vigilant.
We have to be vigilant. Yes.
How long can we stay here?
I don't know. We don't have much to eat.
I know.
You like it?
Yeah. Can I go swimming?
Swimming?
Yes.
Your freezer took us off.
I know.
It will be really cold. Worse than you think.
That's okay.
I don't want to have to come in after you.
You don't think I should go?
You can go.
But you don't think I should?
No. I think you should.
Really?
Yes. Really.
Okay.
He rose and let the blanket fall to the sand, and then stripped out of his coat and out of his shoes and clothes. He stood naked, clutching himself and dancing. Then he went running down the beach, so white. Knobby spine bones, the razorous shoulder blades sawing under the pale skin, running naked and leaping and screaming into the slow roll of the surf.
I don't know if I like this book. I was totally horrified by this book. I would not wish this book on anyone. But I also, once I started reading it, I couldn't put it down. I was so swept up in this world. And I felt like I had to keep reading the book to keep the characters alive. And I thought he created such a complete world that it was almost suffocating. You could not get out of this world, and only this world could exist while you were reading it. And I think that's what you ask of a great book, is to be totally convinced that you're in a different world.
Rob Spillman runs the literary magazine Tin House. You heard Larry Pine and Charlie Panic reading from Cormac McCarthy's The Road. Pike Malinowski produced our story.